Welcome to the Awakened Woman Podcast, your practical roadmap to spiritual awakening. So welcome to this edition of the Awakened Woman Podcast. I am delighted that today I am joined by Annie Marsden, intuitive animal healer, helping animals in the UK and all around the world. I originally found Annie when my cat George was very poorly. And as a healer myself, I wanted to treat the whole of him energetically and not just the physical symptoms. Annie, through our long relationship, has become a friend and a wonderful mentor to me. Annie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Lexi. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here because I can't think of a better way to spend the morning than two animal-loving women talking about animals.
Isn't it brilliant? Annie, I'd be really grateful if you could tell me a little bit more about yourself, how you became an animal healer.
All right. Well, I've been thinking about this and it popped into my mind that my mother always used to accuse me of having weird ideas and she didn't know where they came from. And she was probably right because I've always had a sense of how an animal felt, as well as just being totally in love with every animal that crosses my path. From being 2 years old, that was my first memory of going to an agricultural show and seeing the cows. I can remember them. I can't remember my brothers when they were born, but I can remember these cows. So that sort of set the scene. But I grew up with a lot of animals around us. We had hens and we had rabbits and we had stick insects and we had hamsters and we didn't have a dog, but we did have various cats. And I introduced a cat to us when I was about eight. I went and got a kitten and I just loved this kitten, Mr. Binkles. I loved him and I knew how he felt.
What a wonderful name.
He was a wonderful tabby boy. And I remember he went in the garden one day. He was fine. He came back in again a few minutes later. And I just put my hand on his back. And all of a sudden, he got this lump, which was bleeding, and it had come up from nowhere. And I remember just going to it. And then, of course, you know, my mum helped, and we sorted him out. We didn't seem to go to a vet. I don't think we ever went to see a vet. Not that I've got anything against them. But it just didn't happen. And I just knew, but not only did I know physically, I knew emotionally how they felt. And as I grew up, I moved away from animals in as much as I thought there wasn't a career. I didn't want to be a vet because I thought that's all they did all day was put animals to sleep. I didn't want to do that. And so I ended up being a teacher, which after the first half term, I realised this was not what I wanted to do. And I was involved a lot in animal welfare. And then I stopped teaching and I ran a property business. And I knew that wasn't me, but it was something to do. And then by now I'd got three cats. And about just over 20 years ago, one of them was ill one night. And that was Pumpkin. And that was where it all started, really. She wasn't very well, I'll put it politely, she wasn't very well three times in different places around the house. And she went and sat in the kitchen and she was very tense and clearly feeling uncomfortable. And normally if a cat's been unwell like that, they're fine afterwards, but she wasn't. So I went to sit near her and because she was so tense, I didn't stroke her. And instead, I was talking to her and moving my hand above her body. And as I talked to her and told her she was going to be all right and she was loved and just take your time, get better, as I moved my hand down her body, I got this strong zinging sensation from the palm of my hand over her back and her stomach, which is obviously the area that was disturbed. And I was thinking, this is a bit odd. But I'll keep going because she seemed to like it. And then I tried to move my hand further down her back, but it wouldn't. It was like it was stuck in that place. So we carried on like this for however long it took. And then as the sensation started to fade, she visibly relaxed, let out the loudest purr you've ever heard, curled up in a ball and went to sleep for about 12 hours, never moving at all. And when she woke up, she was hello, I'm back in the room. And she was never sick again. Oh. And I thought, ooh, I think that was healing. I better find out a bit more about this.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful story. And you then went on to kind of find out more and learn more about energy. Yeah. You and I both work with the energy of the heart and the energy of love. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more why that's so important to you and what the heart energy means to you?
Right. Yeah, funny, I call lots of the work I do, it's with people as much as with the animals. And it is about opening your heart to animals. And it goes, opening your heart to animals goes beyond loving them in a, oh, I've got a beautiful cat, I've got a fantastic dog. It is a real deep unconditional love. And that's the key, because when an animal is unwell, it's important for them to know that they are still loved. We like to be loved for ourselves, however we are, whether we're having a bad hair day or we just are feeling grumpy. We don't want people to be selective in their love. And when you're able to be unconditionally loving, you really have opened your heart, that puts the animals in a really safe, comfortable place. That's when they open up to receiving the healing. It's like you put an extra layer on it. You can't heal animals dispassionately. If you're trying to work with your own animal, that is difficult, because you may very well love them unconditionally, but you're still worried about them. And that's why you came to me and I helped you.
I was literally about to say, that is why I came to you. I was a healer. I'd done some animal healing myself. Really enjoyed having both human and animal clients. And there was just this block, because I was so, so desperate for George to be well, that I was putting myself in front of what needed to go on for him, kind of physically and emotionally and spiritually. So as soon as you said to me on that phone call, it's okay, I have the same with my animals, it's like, ah, right, okay, George is in now in safe hands, and I can hand him over to someone who is just going to do everything that I want to be able to do, but have almost put myself and stopped myself from doing it because I was so desperate for the outcome for him to get better. And I think we find that with ourselves as humans as well. If we're healing someone that we love, it's very difficult because we always want the best outcome. We don't always allow whatever outcome that is needed to happen.
Yes. And you've just said it there, Lexi, that the outcome that is best for them isn't necessarily the outcome that we are aiming for. We might think we know what is best for the human you're working with, or for the animal. You might think, clearly they need to get better. But genuinely, and I'm seeing a lot of this lately, it is not right for that animal to get better. And I'm saying this because, and we're recording this in the autumn of 2021, I have never had so many requests for help with end-of-life care as I'm getting at the moment. And some of those animals are recovering. That's because it's not their time to go. Some of them are passing unexpectedly overnight during circumstances you wouldn't expect. And asking for the best outcome for that animal is something, again, which you, as the guardian of the animal, is incredibly difficult to do. But by being able to take that little step back, love the animal, give them the space to access what they need so they can benefit emotionally. All the animals benefit emotionally when they have healing, even if they're hours away from passing. They not only do they get the very best of everything that is available to them, but I find that their families do as well. A lot of people say to me, I felt so much better once I knew that George or Leo was in your hands, because it takes away that burden from them. You better explain why you're laughing, Lexi.
I need to explain why I'm laughing. It's a very, very serious topic. However, I believe that's Charlie has just walked across the video screen. We're recording this on video. And it's just had the most delightful fluffy bum in front of Annie. But it's true, isn't it? I think when we're healing humans, because I predominantly work with humans, we always ask for the healing to be in the highest good, the highest outcome. We step aside and we allow the energy. When, for me particularly, it's an animal that we adore and we have this bond beyond that which we can explain, the highest good, we sometimes forget to ask for that. And we sometimes forget that animals are on their own journey as well. And sometimes you get to a point in a relationship with an animal where you've both learned absolutely everything that you need to learn from each other, and then one or the other takes that step back and goes on their next journey. I think we forget that because we forget animals are such an integral part of the family. We often forget, and I do often, that actually they're on their own soul journey and they're going on their own path, shall we say, as animal souls. And we have to sometimes just let them go, as difficult as that can be.
Yeah, that is true, because we do. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with people over the years. And I say to a woman, because 99% of my clients are still women, and I'm just putting a toe in the water. But seriously, we, you know, no one has ever disagreed with the premise that in our ideal world, one night we would all go to sleep, animals and humans, and we'd wake up and we'd have passed to a happier, lighter place. But I don't think that's going to happen. And that isn't what is supposed to happen, because animals, as you rightly say, are souls on their own journey. And their souls come covered in fur or skin or scales or feathers. And ours have got skin. But we're all souls and we've all got a journey. And the fact we meet together, we are a soul family. And because we are in the position of being responsible for them, we choose to have them in our lives, so we have a responsibility. But they are still independent beings, and when it is their time, if they go in a way that we perceive as being early, that is invariably because they have taught somebody in their human family what they need to learn. Or as I was talking to a client last week, and she was so unhappy because her neighbor's cat, whom her neighbor had rescued from Spain, from whatever circumstances, had that morning been run over outside her new home. And I said, this is clearly very sad for your neighbor and for you, because you're part of this, but that animal went surrounded by love. And that was the piece of her jigsaw that she needed. She wasn't loved where she was. She went through a lot to get to a place of love. And then she was done. She didn't have to stay anymore. And it doesn't take away the I want her sitting on my knee so we can have a cuddle together feeling. But I think it does help people to understand that they do go on. And I have communications with animals in spirit. And some of them, I mean, they tell you the funniest things, and that brings them alive. I mean, there's a Labrador who passed about 6 weeks ago. She was very old. She was incredible. And her mum was desperate to hear from her. And I said, well, I'll see if I can connect her. But the more desperate you are, the less likely it is that Amber will want to talk. Anyway, the family had to go to a family wedding. They had to go. It was one of those things. It was 3 days after Amber had passed. And I knew when they were coming back. So I just tuned in to Amber and I said, you know, that, you know, if you've got a message, anything, you know, that will make them feel happier, if you can do that. And she said, oh, well, I think they had a problem driving home. And she showed me inside the car, and there was a knob and it was on the passenger door. And she said, there was a problem. It was difficult. I said, oh, well, that wasn't what I was expecting. But thank you anyway. So when I spoke to Jane, I said, how was the journey back from the wedding? Oh, it was awful, she said. The wipers couldn't clear the rain, and someone had knocked the passenger side mirror, and I couldn't get at it to turn the knob to put it back in place. I said, oh, well, that's just what Amber has told me. That was not what you'd expect. And this is the thing about animals. They are random. They come up with anything. But that was so random that, not that Jane wanted proof that I wasn't making it all up, because believe me, it would be far too difficult to make it all up. She knew. She said, "Do you mean she was in the car?" I said, "Well, she's certainly aware of you being in the car." So they don't leave us. It's just that we have to get used to connecting to them in a different way. They just carry on.
And it's the same for any soul as well, isn't it? Be it human or animal. Just because we can no longer see them with our physical eye doesn't mean that they're not around us all the time.
No, it certainly doesn't. In fact, I did a healing just before this podcast this morning, and the healing often involves a communication as well, if the animal wants to communicate. But all sorts of things happen. So at one point, the family are going on holiday, and I was talking to the dog about this, and she says she was fine. And then four human family members who are now in spirit, they all turned up to help the dog's family to go on holiday, not to worry about her. And they told me who they were, and I thought I was doing animal work, you know, and now I see come here. But this happens, and what I've learned is, put your ego on one side. You know, you're not making this up, because it is far too difficult, but you could never make all this up. It's, you tell the person, they go, "Oh my goodness, yes, I did have an Auntie Violet. Yes, I mean," but it's all coming through the dog. But it's coming through the open heart. When you are practicing unconditional love, you're also practicing non-judgment. And it's judging something. Like you said, Lexi, you know, when you look after your own animal, you judge what is best for them, because you want the best for them genuinely. But sometimes we just get hold of the wrong end of what is best for them. So being non-judgmental is on the par with unconditional love, because you are allowing the flow of energy to happen naturally, organically, and that is always the best.
And probably one of the hardest lessons as a human with animals or humans, to be totally non-judgmental and have a space where anything goes without having any form of judgment, any form of preconception. Which, heck, it's one of the lessons that I'm trying to learn still.
Aren't we all? I do really try to do this as much as possible. But we all have opinions, don't we? We all have opinions.
We're all human, Annie. At the end of the day, we are human. Having a human experience. We can't disassociate ourselves from that.
No, we can't. I don't think we can sort of sail through everything being neutral about everything, because that would mean we weren't attached to anything. But I remember going out with one of my nieces once, and she was 8 at the time, but my goodness me, what a wise old soul. And this is on the theme of not judging anything and being non-judgmental. And we went out, and we went to this little market town, and I saw this pair of shoes in the window, this shop. And I said, "Oh my goodness, look at those. Aren't they the funkiest shoes you've ever seen? You know, I've just got to go in there and buy them." And I looked at her, and she got this uh-oh expression on her face. And she looked at me, and she looked at the shoes, and she said, "Well, that is a point of view." And I go, "Oh my God."
But I have to say, for the listeners, you are one of the most funkiest dressers I know. You've got this most amazing leopard print on at the moment. So I don't know how much you enjoy colour. So.
I like colours and all that, and channeling the animals. But I know she was certainly being polite. But what I've taken from that is, the shoes were the shoes. I love them. She clearly didn't, but she didn't say, "Ugh, they're horrible." She could have said that. She was 8. She didn't. She said, "That is a point of view." And I have remembered that. She's nearly 30 now, and I still tease her about this. But I thank her at the same time, because what a lesson. You know, I might like it. You might not.
That's the way. It's the turn of phrase, isn't it? It's the power of our words. Sometimes if we... Oh, this is a whole other podcast to talk about, but it's the power of the way that we speak can actually kind of weave into the energy and create perceptions, create judgment, create love.
Yes. And that's, you've just said that it's the words we use. And if I could just suggest that if someone wants to get closer to their animals, there is one thing which has never failed to bring this about. And a lot of people don't do it, which is why they see the difference when they do. Tell your animals what is going on. So even a normal day for you, if you're going to work or you're going out or you're going to go and pick up something, but you're not going to be there, tell them why you're going. And most importantly, tell them you are coming back. And as you talk to them, you see this in your mind and they pick up A, the tone of your words, and B, the pictures. They get the energy of it and that helps them to settle. And you might say, oh, my cat just sleeps all day anyway, so that's fine. Maybe, but they could sleep because they were afraid, or they could sleep because they were depressed, or they could sleep because that's a safe thing to do. But if they know that you are coming back, it makes a difference. And people who haven't tried that and then they try it, they always say, oh, my cat or my dog is so much calmer. Because just as you wouldn't go out and leave a four-year-old, just leave them and expect them to be sitting where you left them when you came back 2 hours later, that would be ridiculous and you wouldn't do it. Don't do that to an animal either. And it's particularly important if something different is about to happen. So if you're expecting, I don't know, someone to come and trim your hedges and it's going to be really noisy, or even if you're going to trim the hedges and it's going to be really noisy, tell them, give them the option. Then they can prepare for that. And this isn't being anthropomorphic. This is just recognizing animals as sentient beings, and their sense and their senses are so much more advanced than ours, which is why at the moment, because the energy is tumultuous. Yes, I'm trying to put this mildly. They are all struggling. And I know you said this, Lexi, about George. He's sleeping a lot more, staying inside a lot more. I know people say, oh, cats are always asleep. No, but there's sleep and there's absolutely zoned out, don't want to know what's going on sleep. And that's what they're doing. And mine, Charlie and Rosie, they've been doing that for a month now. They barely go in the garden. You know, this is summertime. The hens haven't been laying. They didn't go broody. They started to molt in May. They're supposed to molt this time of year, August, September. Everything, because they're all over the place. And I can't say to them, oh, I know what's going on, it's this. I can just say, well, I know that this bit's happening and I know the whole world is like that, so let's try and take some of this away from you. But don't expect them to just carry on, carry on, carry on, carry on. They're not cuddly toys, they're wind-up toys. And they ask, I've learned more from animals than I ever learned at school. Because what they tell me makes sense of my world. I finally get it. And I didn't get it until I started working with animals, because you become aware of energy and the animals teach you so much. And this is why, continues to be my passion.
And it will be quite an easy habit to get into as you're picking up, for example, for a woman, picking up keys, picking up your handbag, just to say to your dog, I'm just going to the shops, I'm just going to the doctors, going to the dentist, just going out, I'll see you in half an hour. In the same way that you sometimes would shout up the stairs to your other half to say, I'm off, I'll see you later, I'll be back at X. Just trying to incorporate that tiny bit in as a start. And then actually, I mean, I chat to George all the time and tell him bits and pieces. And then you suddenly you'll expand on that conversation of, well, actually tomorrow I'm going here and this is what's happening. Oh, so-and-so's done that down the street. It just becomes a natural rhythm. But I think that's a great piece of advice is, keys, handbag. Oh, and by the way, this is where mummy's going. I'll be back later on. Yeah.
That's it. That is it. It becomes a natural thing to do. Hmm. It becomes a very loving habit. You'll see the reward in your happier, more relaxed animal.
That's Brilliant, brilliant piece of advice. So as part of our podcast as well, Annie, we have women who are just starting to explore their spiritual life, who are starting to become aware of there's something slightly more than the 9-to-5 job, there's slightly more than the labels that we give ourselves, you know, mother, wife, daughter, cook, cleaner, gardener, whatever else we do in our lives. You've had a huge experience with energy. You've been working in this field for a long time, shall we say.
Yes.
But you're only 21, darling. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting to explore, starting to become aware of that there's something greater? What top tips would you give them?
Right. Well, I say congratulations for recognizing this in yourself and having the courage to want to explore it, because it's exciting, but like most exciting things, it can be a bit scary too. I learned the hard way by giving out my energy when I started, and then wondering why I was completely poleaxed. Oh, yes, that's because you've given your own energy. And just like if you run your fuel tank down on your car, you don't expect it to go very far. You need to keep topping it up. So I would say become energy aware. Remember that however much you love the animal that you're working with or the people you're with, you have your own energy and you need to keep that protected. And that doesn't mean that you're not connecting to others. It means that you can bring your energy back to you. And how do you do that? You do that by connecting to your higher self. And a simple practice of opening up to the light every day and releasing from your energy field the negativity and the ideas, the thoughts that you pick up from wherever you've been, from the people you've been with, and sometimes with the animals. I mean, when I'm working with animals, they are either in pain or they're unhappy. And just because they're animals doesn't mean that that's okay for me to hold all that. You have to learn to let it go so that you are then complete and whole again. And one way to think about energy is that with every thought we have, every word we say, every action we take, we are creating something. If we could see our creations, think of them as stones, and we'll go, I don't like good and bad, but anything that comes from love, so happiness and joy and wellness, and anything that comes from fear, anger, bigotry, negativity, worry, anxiety. So all the love emotions and thoughts, they're pink, and all the fear-based ones, they're black. And as you go through your day, you have to pick up these as you go around. So if you have a joyful morning, you've got a whole bunch of pink stones and you put those in your bag. But if you've been with negative people and you've been giving out and giving out and giving out, you'll have picked up their energy. So you've got a whole bunch of black stones in your bag. So at the end of the day, you tip out your bag and you see what you've got in there. And you say, oh, my goodness, you know, I've got an awful lot of black stones in here. So you say, well, I don't want those because they're not mine. And you just ask that the source takes them back, that your angels take them back, the earth takes them back, whatever you feel comfortable with. And then you can start afresh the next day. But if you don't, you just carry on filling up your bag. And by the end of the week, you can't move for the weight.
And this very much goes back to what I mentioned in the previous podcast, is that energy is neither created nor destroyed. It actually just transmutes and transforms. And it's okay to ask someone something, whatever you believe in, to transmute that energy and create more pink stones for you.
Yes.
I just love that analogy. I have to admit, I have actually shared that with people before. It's, you know, how many rocks have you got today, and where what are you going to do with the black rocks? It's just brilliant. Yeah. I think that's an amazing piece of advice for anyone. You know, really be aware of what you're creating, and our thoughts create those pink stones, all those black stones.
Yeah. I do. We literally do create with our minds. You know, we have a thought before we've opened our mouth, and this is why people, in a very straightforward way, you know if you get up in the morning, you've got a headache and you feel a bit grumpy, or you didn't have enough sleep, and you go out like that, you're going to meet some really annoying people. But because you attract them, like attracts like. But if you if you, all right, you wake up and you think, oh God, I should have done with some more sleep, but never mind, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm going to have a good morning. I'm going to have a happy morning, or I'll meet somebody that makes me smile. You will. I remember last week was quite a tough week work-wise. And on Saturday morning, I thought, do you know what? I'm going out and I want to have a joyful encounter. Well, I had three and I was only out for an hour and it was just wonderful. And one of them was someone I'd not seen for a year and I love him to bits. He used to teach me history. He's now 90. So you can understand I was a bit worried because I'd not seen him for a year. And there he was. And there we were standing in the middle of the town having a hug and a catch up. And I thought, joyful encounter. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Just wonderful. Annie, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. But before you go, can you let everyone know how they could work with you, how they can contact you?
Well, thank you. Yes.
I'm sure many people will want to now.
Well, they're always welcome. I do give a free consultation to see if we want to work together. And my website is naturalhealingforanimals.co.uk. So you can contact me by email or by just phoning the old landline or sending me a message or phoning mobile. All those numbers and contacts are on the website. I don't do Messenger, so please don't waste your time doing that. I prefer to keep channels of communication under my control, so I don't waste time doing lots of other stuff. If you'd like to go to the website, there is a free ebook called Always Animals, and that is there for you to read. It's about all the animals who taught me sort of the first steps. This is completely free. There are no strings. You don't even have to send me sign up. I don't need anything from you. You can just have the book. And if you love animals, I think you'll love the book. So that's how to find me.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And I will put those in the show notes underneath.
Thank you.
Annie, it's been an absolute delight and pleasure. Thank you so much for being my guest.
I have enjoyed every minute. Thank you. And talking with you, my friend, about animals is a joy. So thank you very much, Lexi.
And I will see you all on the next Awakened Woman podcast. Until then, take care and lots of love.